Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Danny, we've got a new NBA champion.
Got a champ.
Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who won their first title. Pacers' Cinderella run ends one win shy.
I know the story should be Oklahoma City, and it is, ultimately. We'll celebrate them accordingly, and Shea deserved the MVP. That's all correct. They were that run in the third quarter to basically turn the game, and Indiana had no response. I can't stop thinking about Haliburton. Just heartbreaking. I mean, listen, they're real life tragedies. We're all aware of that. We're talking sports within those relative circles. But my God, just it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking what happened to that guy. All he's trying to do is gut through it. It's reminiscent of Kevin Durant years ago with the strained calf leading to the Achilles. And I haven't seen an update on anything official with the injury. But you could see it in slow-mo. I mean, everything sort of snaps and stops working. You could see it through his sock and his shoe. And just like gut-wrenching that it happened. He's on fire to start the game at 3 threes in the first handful of minutes, and you're going, Indiana ain't going anywhere, and then that happens.
He had God. 9 points as of 7 minutes into the game.
Yep.
He had 9 of the 16 for Indiana at the time. They were down by 2 points. And to your point, he was a game-time decision for game six as well. I mean, this was something where he had to decide he wanted to play. They're giving him, I'm sure, an update on his status and telling him, you know, you're risking further injury, but it's up to the player when you get to game six, game seven of an NBA Finals. He only had to play 23 minutes in game six because they fairly inexplicably blew out the Thunder. But to see it all happen, where for the third time we've seen it now in this postseason, where somebody kind of similarly is just making a basketball move and you see the legs snap and that recoil. Remember it from Kevin Durant. It's what you see with quarterbacks, with Rodgers or Cousins or whatever. It's very obvious when you watch it in slow-mo and high def now.
Yep.
The Achilles goes. That was heartbreaking. I don't think I'm overstating that. Like, I don't remember being this crestfallen about a player that's not on my team.
Yeah.
Or a team dealing with an injury on a big stage that isn't mine. Because the Pacers were more fun to watch. They were a better story. I wasn't rooting against the Thunder necessarily because they're still fresh and it's a new cologne and they were so good this year. We'll give them their flowers in a second because that should be the story. But to your point, it really wasn't for me last night. The Pacers were on this legendary, this iconic run with the come-from-behind victories and stealing victories out of the jaws of defeat and Haliburton in the middle of it seemingly every single time. And I did find myself kind of going, man, would it be amazing if they did it one more time? And then he gets off to this ridiculous start to the game. And it was just really, really sad to see it end that way. But you're right. I just don't remember being that heartbroken for a player or a team. And somehow, by the way, that happened 8 minutes in. They led by a point without him at halftime.
Yep.
48-47. Like, they were doing the thing again where I'm going, there's no way,
they just
right?
keep hanging around, right?
Eventually, the Thunder proved to be too much.
And they thundered it, right? Where they forced a million turnovers. You look up and you go, oh my God, we're down 20. How did that happen? The last couple minutes, the whole thing's a blur, right? I mean, Oklahoma City was the best team because they can do that. Whatever gear that is, no one else in the league had that. And it wasn't like Oklahoma City did it once. They did this with one of the great turnover margins in the sports history. And that's their DNA, right? They're not always great in the half court. They're going to go through some ups and downs, like everyone else is subject to in a league about shooting threes and spacing people out. But it's that vice grip defense. It's the next guy, in this case, Cason Wallace, making unbelievable defensive effort after unbelievable defensive effort. And then Alex Caruso takes a turn. And then, you know, you forget about Dortz, who's, diving. I call him Dortz. Dort is all over the place, elbowing people and shoving guys aside and diving for loose balls and just making every little hustle play to get their big guns more and more opportunities. They are awesome, and they deserve to be champions. Really, really cool for that young group of guys that's hopefully going to start something really, really neat. But I couldn't escape thinking about Haliburton. I mean, that run for Indiana was reminiscent of Villanova going on and beating Georgetown, reminiscent of NC State surviving in advance, reminiscent of some of the great Cinderella stories, USA Hockey. I mean, that they were underdogs everywhere and always. Every time they took the court, basically, they were underdogs. And they just kept punching back?
Well, I picked against them like 19 times in wins, right? It felt like, in the last month. I mean, they were the four seed, and it was a generational run led by Halliburton, who was hitting more big shots as the centerpiece than Robert Horry. And for the Achilles to go early in that game, it just felt like we were robbed of a classic.
Yeah.
Because in the first 7 or 8 minutes, it was, you know, a boxing match where they're standing in the middle of the ring, blow by blow, right, just landing
Rocky
punches.
Rocky and Apollo just taking turns, haymakers.
You knew in that game on that stage, like, Halliburton's not going away. He's going to keep hitting shots. He's going to keep taking shots. And the only way he did end up going away was because the Achilles just gave on him. But I think it's important to point out for the Thunder, as we dissect how they did this, this was about defense.
Yes.
You know, here we are in a market where the Wizards can't play defense, won't play defense, haven't in years. This Thunder team, for all of the talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as an MVP and some of the firepower that they have, they forced 21 turnovers. This is what they've done all year long.
Mm-hmm.
They stole the basketball 14 times last night. They had a 32-10 edge off of turnovers in this game in scoring, plus 22, 32-10. And that's how they are built.
That's how they're doing
by the best GM of his era, probably, at this point. But they are built with harassing, pain-in-the-butt defenders. Alex Caruso, you mentioned Cason Wallace last night. Lou Dort, he'll hit threes. He gets credit for that, but like, he is there to
bother you,
infuriate you for 36 minutes a night or whatever he's going to play. And then in the second half, to the Thunder's credit, because I kept saying, where is Chet Holmgren? I thought he had a terrible finals offensively. I know with his length, he defends the rim, and he's good on that end of the floor. But finally in the second half, they had 47 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
They're down a point to a Pacers team that spent the majority of the half without Tyrese Halliburton on the road in a Game 7 where your whole season's on the line. I couldn't really make sense of that except to say they needed more out of Williams, they needed more out of Holmgren, and they got it. They combined for 28 in the second half. Williams had 15, Holmgren had 13, and that was the biggest reason they went plus 14 in the third quarter. But I do think they won this championship because of their defense.
I do too. Pacers went small for a while when Halliburton went out. It was a lot of McConnell in the lineup. You know, Mathurin got big minutes too, but it was a lot of, you know, Nembhard, Nesmith, you know, and Oklahoma City couldn't really punish them. That, to your point, I'm going to the first half. If Chet Holmgren doesn't step up and do something, they're going to lose this game. Because Indiana's getting away with being small. And,
right,
and he's a full head taller than everyone else
but
on the court.
But didn't you think Chet played like that most of the finals?
A lot of it, yeah.
I kept waiting for the Chet game, the 25-27-point game.
And Pacers deserve some credit for that, for making him uncomfortable and not giving him, you know, some of those looks. But at some point, dude, come on, man.
So here's my Thunder question, or point, I guess, that I want to get a reaction to. First, I want to give them their flowers, because I don't think we've done that enough, as we've talked a lot about Halliburton and the Pacers. All-time season, we just saw.
Yeah.
68 wins to lead the NBA. Superstar guard wins the MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now you win your first title as an organization coming over to Oklahoma City. By the way, SGA, I thought last night, 16 in the first half, he was the only thing cooking. The only thing they had going is they scored 47 in that half. And then he finishes with a great line, 29-12-5, wins finals MVP. That was a foregone conclusion. He was not efficient. He missed a lot of shots. It really wasn't a good shooting night at all. I want to say he was like something like 6 for 28 from the floor, or whatever it was, or 8 for 28 or something.
Yeah, 8 for 27.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not a good shooting night, not efficient, but 29-12-5 every single time, please and thank you. They are great. And I believe this is the first of a few in this window. They're probably going to win 3 or 4. We've had 7 straight new champions. There's a parity in the NBA now that makes mm-hmm. it hard to go back to back, which I love. But you'd agree with me probably that this is the first of a few, because they've got a guy in Sam Presti running this thing as a GM, drafts better than anybody. The best GM, not only in the NBA.
Playing 3D chess,
I mean, he might be the best executive in sports right now. Like, that's what we're talking about. Is that fair?
Yeah, there's a conversation, sure.
He is a stud. But here is my hot take or whatever.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I don't find watching their style aesthetically pleasing. Like, watching them in the playoffs as much as I did in watching the finals closely, see, I don't watch as much of them in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that fun to me. And what I mean by that, I know that it's kind of the new school NBA, but it's so much like ISO ball. It's so much high pick and roll, and then it's just a lot of SGA ball sticking. And I love him as a dude. I love him as a player. I'm not trying to knock him. But like when the Pacers have the ball, it looks different.
Yes.
And it just looks better. I like it. The ball, there is no like alpha. The ball is constantly moving. They're getting these backdoor looks. It's just a prettier version of basketball. And so I don't even know if I have a big picture point here other than watching this, and it was a great finals, and it was memorable, and screw everyone who wants to talk about the TV numbers. I don't care about them. Give me more of these. But if this is going to be the team for the next 5 years in the NBA, I guess my point is it's going to be a little bit of work because I just don't find them. Like, the Warriors were the most sexy thing to watch.
That's ever. What I was going to ask you, because it's like, you know, you think of those Spurs teams with Duncan. Obviously, he's the linchpin, but the ball's flying around. Everybody gets a chance. It's Everyone's going to get fat.
And he's Mr. Fundamental, and it's supposedly he's Mr. Boring. There was nothing boring about those teams.
Right. Ginobili wasn't boring. Parker wasn't boring. Yeah, the way those guys are moving and cutting.
But
Golden State was the same
it's
way.
It's like the same thing. It's like high pick and roll, SGA. I don't know. There's the number has to exist. Some basketball guy could tell me. There's no way anybody has dribbled the basketball more this season than Gilgeous Alexander.
The most dribbles per possession. Yeah, it's probably up there. I mean, yeah, I actually think it's a really savvy point by you. Thinking about how Denver did it, for example, when Jokic is right and healthy and they got all the pieces around him that, again, are right and healthy, where it's him in the high post, it's him up top, it's him kind of everywhere in between. If there's too much attention, the ball's getting flung to the corner for a three for Porter Jr. or getting flung for an alley-oop to somebody. So, yeah, I it's not as much fun when a team is built on turning you over without pressing. It's not like Arkansas 40 minutes of hell style from back in the 90s. It's a half-court vice grip with a bunch of really excellent, limby, long, or physically stout defenders in Dort's case. I think it's a really smart point. I mean, they basically were able to hide Gilgeous Alexander on defense because he's got so much offensive responsibility. Early on in this series, Indiana was getting a lot of things they wanted by basically saying, whoever he's got, that's who's going. So people are going, where's Halliburton? Why isn't he scoring a ton? Didn't matter because Nembhard's taking Gilgeous Alexander off the dribble. Then it was Nesmith's turn. I mean, everybody is going at that guy. They're able to kind of hide him defensively to make it so that it's iso ball on offense. I think you're right. But they remind me a bit, not exactly the same, but they remind me of those UConn teams recently here that won a couple back-to-back titles where you go, all right, we're in this. We're going punch for punch. It's not as if their offensive firepower is too much for us to deal with. They got guys hitting shots. And then you look up and you're down 12. And you go, what just happened? It's that defensive vice grip that takes away shot opportunities for you. That third quarter disparity, I think they missed more shots than Indiana took in the third quarter. It was close to that.
Well, yeah, because that's where a lot of the turnovers and the steals were, for sure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.